Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. I'm here to help you cut out the noise to focus. This week's guest is a return guest. I've interviewed my good friend Noah Kagan back on episode 41. And on that episode, we talked about why discomfort is your compass. We learned that Noah even makes his bed in hotel rooms.
That will be some obsessive personality too, if you start staying in the hotel and make your bed.
Hey, don't be so harsh on him, Dan. That was Dan Ariely on episode 51, folks. Maybe Noah wouldn't mind being called obsessive, though, because not necessarily that bad of a thing, right? I don't know. Anyway, I asked Noah to come back on the show because he had a blog post a while back that I wanted to ask him about. It's called My Organization System over on his blog, okdork.com. And he talks really in-depth about how he manages his calendar week to week. And I've been thinking a lot about managing mental energy throughout the week. After all, productivity, especially creative productivity, is more about mind management than it is about time management. So listen to this show to hear in depth how Noah optimizes his creative output by managing his mental energy. How does he get into flow? How does he juggle all the details of running AppSumo and SumoMe? How does he recharge? Noah is also joining the world of podcasters with his new show. He's thinking about calling it The Inflection Point. It might be Noah Kagan's podcast or something. He's working on it. But by the time this interview is out, it should be out. So if you search around, you should find it. And Noah interviewed me on that podcast. And I'm honored to be included in the first round of episodes on that podcast. So when you're done with this one, go and check it out. So for now, I'm very glad to have as my guest a second time, Noah Kagan. When you're billing your clients, the last thing you want to waste your time and mental energy on is creating invoices. FreshBooks customers get paid an average of 5 days faster. Get your free 30-day trial at cadavy.net/freshbooks. I'm here with Noah Kagan again, and I guess the reason why I wanted to talk to Noah today was because he has this blog post that came out a while back. It's called My Organization System. And in it, in particular, there was a really detailed view of how Noah plans his week. And there was a little bit of talk in there about basically managing his mental energy. So that's what I am having Noah on the show today to talk about, is how it is that he manages his mental energy throughout the week, because he's very intentional about it. And I think that it's going to be very useful for a lot of people. So I guess I'll start, Noah, with, I've had my own hypotheses or done my own experimentation with creative output. And so I'm wondering, for somebody like you who runs a couple of companies, what part of your work do you consider to be kind of your creative output?
The creative stuff I do, I think, generally happens around writing. So if I'm writing like a blog post for my personal or thinking about like bigger challenges that we're facing in the business. So those are kind of like the two major things I think are creative for my work. I think a lot of times, like my answer in general sometimes is like, once people open up their computer, they stop thinking.
Yes.
So like, if you want to like never use your mental energy, just open your computer and then everything goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to get into that. Because I remember you were talking about, and this is something that I do, just write before you open your computer, write down what it is that you're going to do. Think about it. Is that kind of something you do?
This is my Oy Vey sticker. I have Oy Vey stickies where I wrote down the four things I wanted to do today. And I generally do that. I find the days I do it, I get more of the stuff done and I feel better about what I do. I think we always feel good when we have progress. So if you write down like, here's what I'm going to do today, and then you get it done, it's a good way of feeling kind of like you moved forward in your life, or hopefully in your business too.
So going back to the creative output stuff, writing the blog posts and things, are there any particular times or days of week or that you dedicate to doing that type of work?
Yeah. One thing, you know, it's how I am, which is going to be different than how other people are. I think one thing that I would just encourage everyone to think about, and this is a lot of times the things I say are things I'm thinking about myself, is that when you find yourself in that creative moment, two things. One, try to recognize like what are the factors that contributed to it. So if you're like, holy shit, I'm writing, or this sale or something here is happening, two things. One, write down like what the hell happened to you to help you get there. And then secondly, don't stop it. So I think a lot of times people are like, well, I've allocated an hour for this. But like last night, I started working on my podcast, and you know, I launched this podcast this week, and I was just in the zone, and I had like my date was over, and I was like, look, I just got to finish this. And so I stayed up from 11 to 2 just like working on some parts of it. So when you're in that zone, just don't stop it. What I found, you asked like one of the times of days or things like that. It's the most time that I get the most stuff done is just when I'm not distracted by people. And I think everyone knows that. I think it's people. And then the second part of it for me is internet. When I'm not on the internet, I'm productive. I consider email a non-productive task, right? So even though people have Gmail open or they have notifications on, like if you're doing email, you're not being productive. So what I try to do is I try to like block out time in my week that I can create like airplane mode, right? And so airplane mode for me is when I'm just like, all right, I know that I'm not going to be online as much, and I'm going to be trying to focusing on like creative work. And I do think generally when you're producing something versus consuming, you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, I know that's definitely true for me. I mean, just always around the holidays, I'm producing less, and I start to lose contact with myself until I start getting back into working. So I definitely feel better when I do work myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have to know themselves. And I think if you're like over 30-ish, you probably have an understanding of how you've been. And like changing is a little bit harder. For me, like I know certain, like one thing I was thinking about that I think you'd appreciate is that like I know that journaling helps me feel better. And then doing like a morning routine helps me feel better. So like I have a morning routine, and then I do it every morning where like, all right, I know I'm going to have this coffee. I'm trying bulletproof to see if I like that. Like, so I generally have the same breakfast every morning. I try to like sit and just think for a few minutes about how I want my day. Like I visualize it. I try to write in the morning. I try to do a game of chess in the morning. And so then what you do is every morning do your routine and then try to be like, well, let me remove this thing or let me add this thing. And then see how that alters the rest of your day. It's kind of like a foundation, right? Like if you can get things founded in, right in the morning, it'll really set yourself up for the rest of the day.
It sounds like you have a pretty intentional and creative morning. So do you avoid checking email before a certain time or anything like that?
So what I do, so here's my phone. I keep my phone out of the bedroom. I think that's probably the biggest mistake most people make. I have my phone in the kitchen. So
charge
the first
in the
thing,
kitchen. Yeah. That's
yeah. So
too.
I think that's been the most helpful. I do check my email in the morning just to make sure there's nothing like emergency or anything kind of crazy that's happened. And frankly, nothing's ever happened.
I really want to talk about this phone in the bedroom, out of the bedroom thing, just really quick though, because sure. I think that's a big one that people overlook, and it's very easy to make excuses about keeping your phone in the bedroom. So for example, do you ever use an alarm? I think a lot of people I use an alarm on my phone, so I need my phone.
I have my alarm in the kitchen too.
Oh, you have a different alarm in the kitchen.
Yeah, because I actually use my Amazon Echo for it. And I found that if the alarm is like far away and I have to get out of bed to go turn it off, then I'm more likely to just get going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And less likely to snooze. I don't generally snooze. And a lot of times I don't even like using an alarm unless I have like a set meeting in the morning, which I try to avoid meetings until afternoon. Because I find that like personally in my creativity is like 9 to 12, like I'm on fire. And then from like 12 to 6, nothing happens. And then from like, you know, 7 or 10 p.m. beyond is like when productivity happens. I think two things I just want to like share. I think one thing I'm not good at, David, that I'd like to get better at this year is that like I notice there's times where I'm at an office or I'm doing and I'm like, man, I am so not fucking productive. And I'm just like, it's a nice day out and I want to be outside or I'm just in a funk. And I think there's two ways of looking at it. I think sometimes it's like, all right, just push through it. But I think there's other times where it's okay to give yourself permission where like you don't sit at the fucking computer if you're not inspired or you're not in the mood for it. Like go for a walk, get some blood flowing, and take a break. And I think I've been bad about that where I'm just like, all right, let me sit here and like fuck around on Reddit versus being productive. And I think just kind of getting out of the normal like flow of what you're doing will help kind of get that creativity. The second thing that I do, and I think more people should be doing this, I block out Tuesdays and Thursday mornings for like studying and thinking time. So like I intentionally every Tuesday from like 10 to 12, either I'm studying, like I'm reading books, like I have my Hebrew book or a Kindle book or whatever, or I'm like jogging or biking or walking, thinking about things, right? Like I'll put on a podcast and go for a walk. A lot of people say, I don't have time for a podcast because I don't have a commute. So like I make time because I think about a lot of the biggest growth in my business and my personal life. And it comes from like I'm on the toilet or like I'm like walking around or I made time for that space.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something that you said a little bit earlier about how you're creatively, you're kind of on fire from 9 to 12 in the morning. So you try to avoid having meetings at that time.
Totally.
I know I'm similar to that because if you have that meeting, say at 9 o'clock, then that creative time for the day is gone. Not to mention that you're not paying attention very well in that meeting. You're not as effective as you could be because that's not the right mental energy for that meeting. Does that make sense to you? Is that kind of what you're doing?
Oh, completely. I mean, I also try to cancel. So on Sunday nights, I literally look at my calendar for the week ahead. And unlike people, like I love planning. I love knowing what's going to go on. And I have some time where I don't know, but I'm definitely a planner. That's my preference. But I try to cancel most meetings unless it's something I'm actually looking forward to. Some people out there may be listening to yours are like, well, I have to do sales and I have to do this. And so certain meetings, like you just are obligated to, but try to make them on just one day of the week or just certain hours of the week so that the rest of the time you can actually structure to be more productive or do the things you want to do.
You're just whole mode. It reminds me of Laura Rota was talking about how she has a podcast week. So for the whole week, she just does podcast interviews for the entire week. I mean, I couldn't handle being interviewed on podcasts that much, but she's into it. But so she gets to stay in that mode and just do it for the week and the rest of the month. In fact, she's able to concentrate on other things.
I like that. I mean, like the two things that like kind of tips or things that I'm experimenting with, one I do regularly and the other one is kind of an experiment for either February or March. One thing that I've done in the past and it works really, really well are like actually breaking down the elements of what a good day is for you on a work day. So what I mean by that is like, I literally have this list of like, if I could have a perfect day or, you know, overall great day, what are those things? So it's like getting some exercise, having a good breakfast, having a great conversation, maybe some flirting, maybe some writing, right? And I make a list of it. So for everyone out there and yourself, or you know, it's what I do, and I think it works well for me, is like make that list. Then you could try to see like, all right, in my days, how am I making sure that those things happen? And I found that very, very helpful because it's like, well, working backwards from like, well, I know what it takes to have a good day. Now let me make sure I can set those things up. So you set yourself up for success. The other thing that this is just me personally, I fucking, and you have to notice when you're in the zone of doing great work. And I literally, my best stuff has always come, which sounds crazy, but my best stuff has always come when I'm in an airplane. And so I actually try to fly. I'm flying tomorrow to Chicago. I flew last week to LA. I'm flying in a few weeks to Atlanta for a day. And I'm actually like, maybe I should just be flying more often. Because when I'm in an airplane, I don't buy internet access. I don't talk to my neighbors. I put on like, you know, noise canceling Bose and I just get at it. I have this list of things I want to write or work on. And because I don't have internet, the most part, I'm very productive for it.
Do you plan in advance what stuff you're going to work on when you're taking your flights?
Totally. So I use notes and I have, you know, it's synced to the phone. And I just have a list of things. I'm like, all right, well, I want to do this blog post. What did I do last flight? Last flight, I worked on a blog post. I worked on we're working on a new product for Sumomi. So I did modeling for it. I'm launching my podcast. So I was doing like projections about, you know, what my marketing plan is going to be and who I should be contacting. And I started creating template emails so I could send them once I get online. And I just kind of had a list of all those things. And like, I literally just love doing it. And because I have no other things to do in the airplane. And I think before I get into the airplane, I know that's what I like doing in there. It kind of sets me up. So once I get in, I'm like, yeah, let's just get that laptop open and going.
You're like Pavlov's dog or something. Once you get into an airplane seat, you're in that mode.
Well, I think we condition ourselves. I have a friend who's like, I fall asleep every time on an airplane. Or I have another friend who's like, I just love getting drunk on an airplane. And another friend is like, I just watch movies on an airplane. And for like a good 6 months, I was watching. I think this is a very interesting lesson for people is that like for 6 months, I was just always watching movies on an airplane. And I was like, man, I used to love when I was getting a bunch of shit done on an airplane and it felt really good. And I was like, well, let me try it again. So the next flight, I was like, all right, I'm gonna work. And I was like, fuck, I really love doing this. And even chess, right? In the morning, I started adding chess to my routine because I like study it. And I was like, man, I missed doing this. So I think people should think about like, what have you done historically in the mornings or during the days or productive in general for your work or for your personal life that you just thoroughly enjoyed? And how do you reintroduce that to your life?
I want to go back to this weekly planning session that you do on Sundays too, because that's definitely a tool for me that has greatly increased my productivity, greatly increased my presence in the moment throughout the week, and greatly helped me manage my mental energy. Can you talk a little bit about your planning sessions on Sundays?
Yeah. So every Sunday night, sometimes it'll be Monday morning. I have an email. So I have an accountability buddy. Mine's Adam Gilbert from mybodytutor.com. And I use follow-up CC. So what happens is every Sunday I email him work, workout, and personal. And I generally have three goals for the week. And I email it to him and I say BCC it to Sunday at follow-up. So every Sunday I get the previous weeks. So the first thing I do is I reply to that email to Adam to say how I did against those different tasks that I set out. And so I say, oh, this went well. I didn't do this. This didn't well. And then he'll question me on it. He's like, well, I thought you were going to do that. Is this as important as you want? Or, you know, just kind of providing that feedback around what I'm doing. And then I email him the things I want to do for that week. And work like this week, let me just pull up my list. I'm doing podcast stuff. So it's like email people ahead of time to subscribe to podcasts, record intro things, interview Jason Fried, because I'm going to Chicago on Thursday. For workout, it's 3 workouts and 2 cardio. Personal, it's like OK Dork redesign. I'm going hunting this weekend. And I want to find a publisher to discuss this book that I really like. And so sometimes it'll be more than 3, but generally it's like 3 to 5. I email him that on Sunday. And then the next Sunday I do the same review. The next thing that's pretty important with this is that once I've kind of established the things I want to do, I block them out in my calendar. I just don't want to think about them. And so the fact that I'm like, all right, I know I'm new workouts. I have in my calendar, I had a jog this morning. I had a jog Monday morning. I had a workout Monday evening, workout Wednesday evening, and I'll do a workout on Sunday. And so knowing that I've already scheduled a lot of those things, it helps me know that the things I want to get done will get done.
And then you also look at those meetings and cancel the ones that you don't want
to. I fucking love canceling meetings. So like, and I do it aggressively. I think people are way too generous with their time with other people. Like you're like, oh, we're going to have a lunch. A lunch is like an hour and a half that you could be doing something
lunch,
else.
Like, whether just waste the entire afternoon and call it what it is, right?
Well, if you do food coma, I think that's kind of it's funny you say that, David, but I don't think people realize like how many people come back from lunch like, man, I'm really tired. I got to get a coffee now. It's like, just figure out what you're fucking eating at lunch that's really affecting your energy and change that. Like, so I don't generally eat carbs during lunch because I know it's going to make me tired. I love carbs. I'll eat pasta for dinner or lasagna, whatever. But lunchtime, I know it slows me down. So I'm aware of that. The other thing that I personally do is I have a lot of repeating meetings, repeating calendar things. And that helps me remember things. So the more I don't have to think about it, you talked about like using mental energy. I don't want to think about certain things. So like every Monday, I know I have to do an import of customer stuff. It's like some business stuff. So I just have it in there. So I do 2 things around that. I schedule a lot of things on repeating. Like, I know I have to pay my property taxes. Let me just throw on my calendar. So I know what day on January 10th, I have to do it every year. But the other thing I think people don't do enough is actually like cancel repeating things or things they're not following through with. So like I used to have airplane mode in my calendar and I just would never fucking do it. And so I was like, all right, dude, just cancel it. You're not doing it. And then you can figure out like, all right, well, how else can I do that? So I do study time, and study time has actually worked out really well where I don't set meetings besides, and I don't do anything else in study time besides either writing or thinking or studying.
Now you mentioned doing this customer import thing on a Monday. To me, I know that there's certain tasks that might be like that. Or if I get an email from my accountant, for example, I use Boomerang, you use Follow Up CC. And I will just, if I get an email from my accountant on, say, Monday, I'm going to use Boomerang and it'll come back to me on Friday because that stuff can wait. I'm doing only creative work on Mondays. Do you have any ways that you think about your energy throughout the week in that way?
Yeah, I think for me, Mondays are kind of a write-off.
But you're a manager too, so you've got a lot of moving. You've got people underneath you that need your decision making and stuff to help them get the ball rolling on their week. Is that accurate?
Not really anymore. So I think you have to figure out what you're really fucking great at and then only do that, and everything else you've got to remove. So Mondays literally would be meetings all day. So I would have meetings from like noon to like 3 where I do these one-on-one check-ins, and I just didn't fucking like Mondays. And I'm like, dude, I didn't start a company or be a part of a company to really not look forward to my work days. And I think generally, like, I guess over the years, I just don't look at work as work. I'm like, oh, this is just fun stuff I want to do. And I think when you start looking at it as like a burden, it's like, well, what can I control to adjust that? So my partner's actually Chad, who's amazing, has taken over a lot of the responsibility of like the operations at Sumo, for Sumo Me. And so that's freed me up on Mondays to not feel so like weighed down to have one-on-ones.
And when you do things that you feel like a burden, that hurts your mental energy.
And frankly, you're not likely to be great at it. So why not find someone who's going to be better at it than you and enable them to do that? Like, for example, recruiting. I was spending probably in 2016, I probably spent about 60% of my days recruiting. And I literally hated most of those days. It's a grind. And sometimes with businesses and when you're going, you have to just do stuff. And I think it's good to do things you don't like because it helps you become stronger and you improve, blah, blah, blah. But eventually I got to a point where I'm like, all right, this is not really helping me grow anymore. Let's hire a recruiter to spend their time doing it. And Samantha, I asked her, I was like, what, do you like doing this? She's like, oh my God, I love doing this. I love it. And I was like, well, yeah, why don't you just do all this all day? And I'll go do the things I like doing all day, which is like chatting with people, creating content, marketing, starting new businesses. And so I'm spending my time doing that and then hiring people and putting the people that actually want to be doing sales or want to be doing support or want to be doing marketing or recruiting and finding the best people I can to enable them to do their things.
I want to talk about this time that you spend playing chess or reading, because I think that those are things, reading, for example, I think is especially one that a lot of people want to read and then they wait until after they've gone to work and they've had dinner with their family and everything, and then they pick up a book and then they're just out and they're asleep and they're not using their best energy for this thing that they like to do. So did you make a conscious effort to use a better portion of your energy for reading in your Tuesday and Thursday sessions?
Better portion of energy. I like reading. I think it's one of these things you have to kind of look at, like what's helped you really grow and what things you really help get you to where you want to be going. And for me, reading has been a part of it. Or even like my buddy Neville, I think you know Neville too. Neville loves learning from YouTube. So like when he lunches, he always watches like an educational YouTube video. So he'll watch like a Jerry Seinfeld interview or like a Howard Stern interview, which sounds silly, but he gets a lot of good knowledge out of that. So he's created in his routine, knowing that he gets energy from learning during YouTube videos, that he sets it up during his lunchtime. And so I think for every person, you kind of have to everyone has different energy levels, right? And I think all we have to do is like, just look at the last week or even today. And when you're listening to this, just reflect on your day and be like, damn, when was the best parts of the day? What was the worst parts of the day? And then how do I adjust it so I can get more of the better parts and less of the shitty parts? I think one thing that everyone should be doing that I get a lot of energy, generally working out, which is one of these things that it's easy to kind of skip over because you're tired or it's busy. But like I'll work out in the evening after work. And I mean, that just kind of like, it's kind of a nice, like, I don't know if it's a reward, but I really enjoy that. And if I'm ever like stuck at work or frustrated, I'll just go for a walk. I'm like, all right, let me just get the fuck out of the office, get the blood flowing. And I think a lot of people aren't doing that enough.
And how do you do anything to balance, you know, things like taking for a walk? I think is something that a lot of people will talk about when they get into a creative block, they go for a walk. But obviously that can get out of hand where you're just like walking all the time and not getting any work done. Do you do anything to help balance that, or you just let it go the way it goes?
It's funny. I was thinking about this guy named Mike, and he's starting a video business, and I work with him regularly, and he always seems to be not doing the things we talk about. But what's helped him is that he sets his intention for the week on Sundays. He emails me or texts me Monday morning. He's like, here's my goal for the week. And during the week, like he'll check with me. He's like, hey, what do you think about this idea? I'm like, well, how does that help you towards your goal? And if people are moving towards where their goal is, then, you know, who really cares how it happens? That's kind of the way that I generally look at it.
And back to this, I guess I call it exploration time. When you're reading or you're playing chess, are there parts of that that feed into the rest of your work and feed your creativity in your work?
No, I just really like playing chess. I know it makes me happy. I mean, sometimes I think like, all right, if I got hit by a car in like an hour, like how would I feel if I didn't have this like really yummy lunch? Or if I... And so certain things I'm like, hey, you know, I would be okay sacrificing for it. And other things I'm like, dude, I'm going to live, you know, I don't know how long, hopefully forever. But I don't always be like, it's all productivity. It's all making things happen and grow, grow, grow. It's like, no, I want to also make sure I'm enjoying today as well as sacrificing for tomorrow. So it's figuring out where that balance lies for different people. Like for instance, so sometimes lunch meetings, like I had a lunch meeting today, it gave me more energy. Right. And I think you have to realize that with the people you hang out with, the activities you do, the work you do, the time of day, like, are you getting more energy or less? And then how do you exclude the things from your life? Like for me, I know coffee meetings like kill a lot of my day because I have to commute there. I have to have the coffee. I have to entertain the person or I feel like that. And so I'm like, well, I just don't want to do those anymore unless it's someone I know or I'm interested in actually meeting because I think that will give me more energy throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, and I tend to have coffee meetings like later on in the week when I'm probably not as – I've used up my best creative energy already and I'm not going to get a lot done anyway. And if I think that it's going to be energizing. Are there any activities for you that are – you were going to say something?
Well, yeah. One thing I've been doing and I've started it this year. I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I've been continuing it, is that I use two things. I use schedule once. So meet me or schedule once.com. So to help schedule meetings. And what you can do with schedule once is basically you'd say like when people can meet with you. And so what I generally do is like Thursday and Friday afternoons, I don't really plan a lot of things. And that's when people can meet with me and I don't mind it as much. Cause I'm like, I'm Friday afternoon, I ain't really doing shit. Nothing happens Friday afternoon. The other thing I've been trying to experiment with is just like, how do you create themes for your days? So instead of like, I think, I don't know, GTD might've said this, but I'm not even sure. But basically it's like Monday to me is like an operation day. So I just do like, it's all sumo day. So operation, whatever the hell needs to happen there happens. And then Tuesday through Thursday is kind of like either a research day or like a creation day. And then Friday is just a fuck around open day. But the point for everyone else listening for themselves is just figuring out like, all right, why don't you try a whole day around one thing and see how that goes. And then see if that actually makes your week better or not. So like one thing I'm experimenting, I think I mentioned it earlier, I'm a planner. And so I'm going to do a week in February where I don't plan anything for a whole week. Right? Because I don't know how it's going to be. And I'm not saying you should go blow up things, but go and experiment and then see what it does for you. So like in a week, and to me, because I know you talked to Jason Frieder, you sent me that article or someone did where he doesn't plan a lot of his week. And I think Mark Andreessen doesn't. And obviously that like you could talk to like Jeff Bezos who plans every minute and maybe he, you know, you could be like, well, that he did it. It doesn't mean it works for everyone. But I think you have to figure out what works for yourself. So for me, I'm going to experiment having nothing planned whatsoever, no structure or schedule, and then see how that week goes. And my assumption is at the end of that week, I'll take away one or two things that I'm like, dude, I really loved how like on Wednesday, like one day, maybe one day a week, just don't have anything scheduled. So no matter what on Wednesdays, there's nothing planned and just let that kind of be an exploration day. But that, I think that's the overall message there is like try different things out for yourself and then see which things kind of really give you that, energy or clarity and excitement around those days and then reproduce it.
I love that open week idea. I do a thing, I call it the week of wants. And usually it happens around the time I have a conversation with you and I talk about something that I feel like I should be doing. And you're like, well, what? Don't do it. And I realize like, oh, I've slipped into this goal-oriented way of approaching things. And it's very cognitively draining. And so I'll just give myself a whole week where the whole time I can work on whatever I want. And some of my best ideas, like I got hooked up with Dan Ariely and Timeful and that sold to Google. That came from mind management, not time management, which was a blog post that I wrote during a week of want, which, by the way, that concept is kind of what we're talking about right now.
Dude, that's awesome. You were saying, Han, so you, because what was your week of want that you made you want to write that article? What was the want that you had?
Well, the week of want really just means I can do whatever I want. And so there's not really, I'll sometimes go into it with an idea of a theme of something that I want to work on. But more than anything, it's just not planning. It's taking every moment to reconnect with curiosity, which for me, curiosity is everything in my business. To me, that's the best way to end up somewhere where nobody can catch you is to follow the things that you're curious about, because you have so much more energy for the things that you're curious about than for, say, things that you quote unquote should do. So have a concentrated week like that, it helps.
Why don't you have that every week? I mean, you're only living this life forward one time. Like, why not every week be a week of one?
I still enjoy structure. I still think that I get a lot more done and do better work when I have some structure and I have to, and I do a little bit of forcing myself to do things where I have a little bit of discomfort. That works for me, and I've learned to recognize better when, okay, you're pushing yourself too hard on things that you don't want to do. I think that everybody needs to do a small amount of things that are hard or uncomfortable or they don't want to do. Like every morning when I get up and write, I'm like kind of dreading getting out of bed because I'm dreading that first 10 or 15 minutes of writing. But then I get writing and then it feels really good. And then I feel like I feel good. I feel like, oh, I got my day off to a good start. I did something today. I can have a more structured, unstructured afternoon. So those are the reasons why I don't do it every week.
No, I think it's good to have some parts of your week you're just not going to like. And you know what's funny about the parts we don't like? A lot of times they're not as bad as they seem. Like I had to record some intros for the podcast and I've had it on my list for like 2 weeks. And so I think generally anything over 2 weeks on a to-do list, unless it's a long-term plan, should either be removed or just do it that day. And I finally was like, I recorded it and like it took me 3 minutes. And I was like, dude, why was I avoiding that? So generally I try to, like I think of it like washing dishes. I think a lot of times people put dishes in the sink and they just let it sit there. I'm like, I don't know where I heard this from, but it was someone who was like, just do it now. And a lot of times I have this like little like Jewish aunt sitting on my shoulder and be like, just do it now. Just get it over with. And I think that can apply for a lot of different things.
And that's taking up cognitive energy all that time when it's in the back of your head. I think it's called the Zeigarnik effect, that if, I hope I'm getting that right, that if there's a task that isn't finished, that you're holding it in your head. And then when you do finish, it kind of gets out of there.
I mean, you emailed me and asked me like, how do I reduce decision fatigue? I think more and more trying to create like default choices in your life just kind of simplifies a lot of those things, right? Like I know that when I go to a restaurant, they have an outside patio. I will default to an outside patio. Or if there's certain items on a menu, I will just choose that certain item so I can like save that energy. Because I think of energy as like a gas tank. Like per day, you have a certain amount of energy. Coffee kind of boosts it up for a little bit, but then it kind of comes back down pretty flat. Or faster. And so you have to reduce the amount of things that you have to use energy on so that you can use them on the things you want to spend them on.
We're going to take a quick break. As a solopreneur, I want maximum impact with minimum effort. Any chance that I get to clone myself, I take it. That's why I love ActiveCampaign. With ActiveCampaign, I can build incredibly sophisticated email marketing campaigns that run themselves. I can have a big impact on my email subscribers. I can make sales. And meanwhile, I'm free to build more cool things. It's really like having a clone. With ActiveCampaign, I can build automations that do just about anything. It's just like writing a program, but ActiveCampaign's drag and drop editor makes it easy. You can see visually exactly how your campaign works. The best part is ActiveCampaign is actually cheaper than my old ESP. I really wish I would have started with them. So try out ActiveCampaign for free for 14 days. Go to katavi.net/AC for your free trial. That's katavi.net/AC to claim your 14-day free trial. I think this is a great idea thinking about defaults. And I think that it's also helpful to think about where there are defaults in your life that somebody's already made a choice for you and it's not actually the choice that you want, but you have to consider it.
What were you thinking of? What example were you thinking of when you said that?
Well, just as one example, I'm always like appalled when I look at people who are getting Facebook notifications on their phone, or they're getting notifications for everything. They're getting emails, they're getting Facebook notifications on their phone. And I'm like, how are you alive? How can you possibly like handle all that noise coming in? Do you realize what sort of potential you are losing by allowing these notifications to come in and interrupt you all day long? Are you crazy? And for me, it's like, I just by default turn off pretty much all notifications. My phone is on do not disturb pretty much all the time. And that is a conscious making of a default that is different from the default that you're normally served.
Yeah, I think we just have to evaluate that stuff. It's funny. I think people are just at certain times in life, you just kind of get used to how things go and then you don't stop to like reevaluate it. Like my mom has a lot of structure and routine in her life to like an extreme, which is healthy to some extent, but then she never reevaluates it. Like if it's making the overall utility of her life better. So it's like people get these notifications and they're like, man, I'm really spending a lot of time. Or like one thing for me, the first thing that came to mind was like in the morning, I was getting up and then checking Instagram for like 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then after maybe like 2 months, I was like, dude, how do I feel after these? I feel like, I don't know, if I don't really feel super inspired. So I was like, stop that. And like, let's try like a week of not having you doing Instagram first thing in the morning, or like checking it with my phone, because it's not really making the rest of the morning better. I feel like I've just wasted 15 minutes.
But was that hard? Like I've in the past struggled so much with just getting stuck in Facebook or Twitter. Was that hard for you to stop looking at Instagram for 15 minutes every morning?
Not especially. I think we're in this like attention economy of like 10, 15 second clips for everything. So it's interesting. Like when I go to therapy, sometimes I think about like, man, I've just dedicated one full hour to myself. Like if I dedicated like 3 to 4 hours a day, either to work or to personal growth, like how far ahead you'll be than most other people, because people aren't willing to commit what it takes to accomplish things they want to do. Hopefully if they have big things that, you know, they aspire to do. But no, I don't really have like a secret like, oh, I did this one thing. And that, I mean, the easiest one is probably just uninstalling Instagram Or secondly, like a way you can do it is like make it harder to access those things, which is funny. We have to like actually do that to make it harder for ourselves. So like all of my like fun social apps are always on like a further away screen. They're not on my home screen. My home screen is like my like Fitness Pal and my notes pad and like things that I don't feel like are just complete waste of time. A good way that I kind of thought about this in the past is like, how much is my life better after that activity? And like every time after I've like looked at Facebook, I'm like, okay, all these people I don't give a fuck about, I see their updates that doesn't do anything for my life. So what did I just get out of that? And I think if you actually take the time to be aware and evaluate the different activities you're doing, you'll start like reconsidering which ones you want to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, it's at, sometimes it'll slip into a compulsion. And that's where I've used Pavlok before. And it worked really, really well. Like shock myself. These days I don't shock myself that often, but if I do start to slip, I will put the rate, I'll put the wristband on. And then that alone pretty much helps me stay away from those things because I don't want to shock myself because I don't like getting shocked. But the first time that I shocked myself, I was done for like a month. I didn't look past the first item on the Facebook timeline for an entire month. And I'm not even exaggerating.
You were just like scared to, you know,
the desire was gone. It just disappeared.
Well, like, do you use the newsfeed eradicator at all?
I use something like that that hides my newsfeed. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's a great game changer.
Must have. I wish I had it for so many other things. I wish I had it for Medium. When I go on to Medium to write, and they show me all these articles about a bunch of shit that I don't care about, but they're attention grabbing articles. I'm like, God, I wish I had that blocked out. There's probably an eradicator for Medium too.
Well, what? A few of the things that I do, there's a plugin on Chrome. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's called like Site Blocker. Site Block. And I just literally use it for ex-girlfriends. Because I don't want to go see their stupid stuff or see them on Facebook or their websites or anything like that. Another thing that was kind of an interesting like energy tip, because like you only have so much time in a day. You have 24 hours. Everyone's got the same. So how do you maximize what you want to get out of it? Chet Holmes wrote Ultimate Sales Machine, which is one of my favorite books. And one thing I've been doing pretty well over the past few weeks is like, he's like, if you touch it, do it. So for email, if you're opening it, don't just like get out of it and then come back later to it. Just either archive it or respond to it. But don't just let it sit. And I've been really, so I have like an email open. I'm like, all right, well, I got to finish that one before I can do something else. And then just not getting in like the sidetracking.
For me, if I do get sidetracked on something like an email or an administrative task, like I said, I usually put those on Friday, but say something comes up, I've got to, you know, log into some portal that I almost never log into. Like once I'm there, I'll be like, all right, I'm here now. Is there any other things that I can finish up before I get out of here for the next month?
Have you ever noticed that the people who seem to be the most externally successful or accomplished are always pretty fast to respond to emails? Have you ever noticed that?
It bothers me, yeah.
They're like, oh, and because the thing too is everyone's like,
Ramit,
you're so
Seth
busy.
Godin.
Oh, like, these guys respond in minutes. And it's very interesting to be like, well, how are they able to do that and accomplish the things they're able to accomplish? And I think there's just no wrong way to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. You kind of got to figure out like, what are the things I want to accomplish? And like, if I'm able to do that and have fun and respond to emails and be on Reddit or whatever, play chess that you get done, then make sure, you know, set yourself up to do that. So like you were asking earlier, I thought it was a good question or a good thought, which is like, what are the moments that you have a lot of clarity or good thinking? And so for me, the two moments that have really stood out in the past, I don't know, maybe 3 months that have really stood out for like, I have great clarity, great thinking is two specific things. One is no alcohol or no mental stimulants besides coffee. I've noticed that when I'm not drinking, like my clarity, my energy, my attention, someone said this word this morning, I loved it. My continuity is very on point. Versus like I have a few cocktails, you have some wine, you wake up, you're a little cloudy, it takes a long time to get going, you don't remember what you talked about. You maybe things you didn't want to do, not even bad things, you stayed in an event or longer, even though you didn't really want to be there. And I think when you are not drinking, you make very clear decisions and your energy level, for me, actually is higher. I've noticed it goes down when I start drinking.
I was just going to say that I noticed that too. I drink very rarely, but there was a time a few years ago because at a doctor's recommendation, I had to go a month without drinking. And initially, you know, at that time I would maybe make a cocktail and read a book or something at night. But I had a little bit of a hump to get over at first, where it was difficult. I realized what a stress reliever it had been for me. But then I just found new stress relievers that were actually way more nourishing to me, which just doing more reading as an example. But I ended up going out a lot less.
Yeah, you're also tired, and it's not fun to be like at a social event as much. You know, I was at this great party in LA on Friday, and everyone's drinking, everyone's drunk. And, you know, number one, like, it's empowering that I'm not. I feel stronger. Two, I remember everything that happens. Mm-hmm. And three, you never like regret the decisions you make when you're sober. You're not like, oh man, I was so sober, I did this thing. Yeah. You know, like, ah man, I woke up with this girl in bed. I don't know how she got there because I was so sober.
Well, and if you go out less, I think one thing I've found is that when I was like most people, somebody who would have a drink or two or three a few times a week, that you spend a lot of time in this sort of limbo state where you're at a bar or something and maybe you're not talking to the friends that you're there with, and you're like thinking about other things you'd rather be doing. You're like, wait, why the fuck am I here? What am I doing? Why? And at the same time, I'm putting poison in my body.
And
tomorrow I'm going to feel like shit too. So I'm like, I'm losing, like, it's like a full-time job. Sometimes you'd like go out at 8 and then you come home at 4. That's a full-time job. And your next day is shot too. So it was just like, what a waste. Once I realized that, when I really cut down.
I completely agree. Two things for me around that, and I'll tell you one other moment I get a lot of clarity. But like, I interviewed this guy, and he's like, yeah, I don't really drink. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why not? And he said, well, I don't want to ever lose a day of life. And I thought that was a very powerful statement. He's like, I never want to lose a day of life. And sometimes if I'm hungover and I lose a day, like, I never want that to happen. This life is too valuable to waste it on a hangover. Yeah, so the drinking thing has just been, you asked for energy. Like, I'd say, like, that's been one of the biggest ones. Do I think I'll go back to it? I don't know. I just know that, like, not doing any drugs, not doing any drinking, like, I just, my overall baseline of happiness is significantly higher. So that's kind of my point to people out there. It's not that, like, maybe drinking gives you more energy and you're great about it. But for me, it was like helping me avoid situations or stay places that I didn't really want to stay. And if I was sober, I'd be like, I want to get the fuck out of here because my energy sucks and these people suck.
Drinking, by the way, we were talking about defaults earlier. Alcohol is totally a default. I mean, it's the default thing that when somebody, you know, you meet a new contact, oh, let's go get a beer sometime. Let's go get a drink. And it's like the default thing, especially in your 20s. It's Friday night. What are we going to do? We're going to go to a bar. We're going to stand around. We're going to drink things. We're going to think about talking to girls. And then we're going to go home and like cry ourselves to sleep or something like that. It's just like everybody's doing it. It's so uninventive not to, you know. Not that I don't have a drink every once in a while. I'm just saying that it's a default. And because it's a default, it's everywhere, right? It's everywhere you go. There's bars. It's like one of the only viable businesses that still exists in physical space is a bar or a liquor store.
Oh, I would challenge everyone listening. You know what's funny though? Like, some people might see us, me and you, hanging out, and be like, dude, you guys are drinking. And me and David are doing like keg stands or something. Like, I thought you guys didn't drink.
I'm a drink, yeah. I'm gonna go to a vineyard in a couple of weeks probably, so yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Where?
In Colombia. It's probably not gonna be really great wine, but whatever.
Yeah, who knows. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll take a body shot off you or vice versa.
Yeah, it happens.
But I think the point that, like, we've said in this overall thing is that there's a lot of different strategies, a lot of different tactics. I think you just have to kind of recognize what works for you. And for me, not drinking, like, so far everything in my life is better. And I've noticed specifically, like, if I'm somewhere and I'm already in a great mood, I'm like, this doesn't make me in a better mood. It makes me in a like momentarily like escape mood and then like a like numb mood almost. So if I'm already in a great mood, why not just continue that and have a great time? And so I'm just, I don't know, I'm experimenting with it. And then at the end of this month, I'll kind of see like, do I want to reintroduce it or do I want to keep going? I think I'm scared of like, oh, I'll never drink again. I'm going to be one of those guys. Not even about those guys. Like, oh, that doesn't seem like fun. Like, I romanticize the drink. But anyways, this is a whole nother in person. The other thing about clarity, for me, is mountain biking. So for people, like for me, I like mountain biking. This could be jogging for others. It could be cycling. It could be something where I don't have music playing, number one. It could be driving too. Don't have any music playing. And two, I can't really think, which is a little counterintuitive. So if I'm mountain biking, if I start thinking about a girl, like, I'll fall and hurt myself. But that, for some reason, it creates moments where I get clarity around things that are going on in my life, and I get like just this like really good energy. And so I think people have to kind of go explore, what activity is it? Ultimate frisbee? Is it disc golf? Is it like fencing? Is it, I don't know, maybe sex? I don't know. But it generally should be isolated, what I found, because for me, my liking, it is, it's a solo sport. I don't have any distractions, and you're generally you're forced to be present. And so those kind of conditions create very good moments of energy and just clarity. I don't necessarily always think about energy. I think more clarity levels. Mm-hmm. But mountain biking for me is that.
Sounds like recharging activities to me. And I mean, one of the things that I've, as somebody who is usually pretty driven to create things and who gets a lot out of doing a recharging activity like that, one thing I did at one point was I would take some Jelly Belly jelly beans and say like, all right, I've got two green jelly beans. That means I have to go hiking twice a month. So I'd have like this physical reminder on my desk that as I would plan my week, I'd be like, all right, there's still two jelly beans, still two green jelly beans. I got to plan a couple hikes, because for me, maybe, you know, maybe I'm weird this way, I actually have a hard time getting myself to do things I enjoy sometimes. Like doing the effort of like booking the zip car and finding out which trail I'm going to go to and driving over there and just the cognitive overhead of actually making the activity start. Having some sort of a physical reminder and giving myself a prescription for how much to do it helped me manage my mental energy.
I like the recharging things. I don't think people think of themselves as phones, right? But every night you plug your phone in, and we sleep, but you know, maybe not even sleep well. Like, I think in terms of energy, like we could probably even start at the beginning, like how much have people invested in their sleeping?
Oh,
right. Like your mattress and your pillows.
Let's talk
like,
about that. How much do you think about your sleep?
Because I've gone through, I mean, I try to optimize every single thing on my bed, like literally like an A/B test of my bed. I've gone through like five mattresses. Like I've tried Tufted Needle, I've tried Casper, I've tried Amazon, tried mattress toppers, I've tried the pillows, I've tried the sheets, I've tried the duvet, I try like what lighting in my room makes a difference. Like so one thing I stopped doing is I used to always bring my iPad or like the iPhone into bed, or mostly the iPad, because I'd watch a movie. And I found that like it would just keep me up and I'm not sleeping enough. And so like I switched to Kindle and I read a book. And so now every night I'll read a book in bed. And I'm like, all right. And if I want to watch a movie, it's because my book sucks, so I'll change the book. But that's like a little thing, because if I can go to sleep sooner or get more rest, then I feel better. But I think like the sleeping is the foundation of life. Like if you don't recharge and sleep in bed, like your whole day, basically you're already, it's like, you know how we talked about like your morning routine and having that like kind of step-by-step checklist that you kind of keep playing with. If you wake up feeling shitty because of crappy bed and sleep, then like none of that even really matters.
Yeah. Then your day is not going to go as well. That actually reminds me, when you were talking about reading, there was a nice hack that, Dan Ariely had, which is that he has a reading chair next to his bed. And so he won't read in his bed. He'll only read in the chair next to his bed. So if he gets tired while he's reading in the chair, then he gets into bed, and he's trained himself to think, oh, that's my time to sleep. And if he has trouble sleeping, he gets out of the bed, sits in the chair, reads or something like that. If he's not sleeping, he's not in his bed.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think it's like people have heard the hacks of like never bring your laptop to bed. It's like creating the space for different activities. So like my kitchen table is my work area. The thinking and reading chair is over there, and my couch is for entertainment. And you kind of create the spaces in your house that you want to be using things. But yeah, like my bed, I use like there's an Amazon mattress, like Cool Gel, which is I recommend with the mattress topper. I use JCPenney like satin sheets. I have Cool Gel pillows, and then like my pillows as backups.
How do you determine if something's working for you as far as sleep goes?
Good question. I mean, for me, the mattress is just like, is that comfortable for me? The sheets are like, how does that feel in my body? The head is like, is my neck cramped in the morning? So it's kind of like per component. And a little bit of aesthetic. Like I want it to not look like shit. So I look at my bed. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like probably if you think your bed looks good, like there's more likely you'll use it more often. Hopefully either sexually as well as to sleep. But yeah, it's kind of on a per basis. Like I can tell if my neck was good. And then each component you kind of can break down.
I think that you should have like a sleep blog, a sleep podcast.
We actually, you know what's funny? You say that. I have sleepsumo.com. So we've actually done it.
Wow.
And I looking for someone to take it over if anyone's interested. I just don't, it's not something I'm prioritizing or that excited to work on. But it's basically like a weekly newsletter around sleep tips and hacks and products.
That's a good idea. This is something Dan Ariely was talking about too, is that how he thinks that so few people in society actually think hard about their sleep and how to optimize it. So that it could be the right time for something like that.
I think, it's a big market. You've got 7 billion potential customers. you think of how big of a market.
Everybody sleeps. It's so strange.
Yeah, man. Well, if you think about it, Casper.com, which is the new mattress stuff, or Tufton, those guys literally $100 million in revenue in under 4 years, in a yearly basis. I mean, these guys have exploded. And whether it'll stay that way is a whole separate discussion, but it's interesting that a new mattress company can be a billion-dollar company in under 4 years.
My parents just got a Sleep Number bed. I was just visiting them. They had people over there who were there to install it, and it has different numbers for each side, and it reclines and goes in all these different shapes. It massages, and then there's an app that goes with it that tells you how well you slept and everything. Super sophisticated bed. I guess there's no. It's like the Alinea, the restaurant of beds.
I mean, I was talking with a friend last night. He said, find the things that matter most to you in life and invest as much as possible in them. So he's like, what matters most to me in life is my bed, my wine, and then I think his chairs. And that's where he spends, because I asked him about his ingredients. He was using all this very expensive oil for cooking. And he's like, dude, food is the most important thing. And there's no limit on food. There's no limit on my wine, which I think, on a wine test, he would lose. And then his chairs. And I think that's true for everyone. So for me, sleep is important. So if you said, Noah, there's a $5,000 bed that will make your sleep better, I wouldn't really question it that much.
I mean, lamps. I bought a 600. I mean, I don't have hardly any possessions now, but I had a $600 lamp in Chicago just because I went shopping for lamps. And that was the only lamp that was really good, that was going to give me nice, even light on my book. And also it was besides it being beautifully designed, it was a lifestyle design decision in that I wanted to read more books. I wanted to, and I had a conversation with Ryan Holiday once at Ramit's place, actually. And he was just like, I love books so much. And that at the time I didn't realize it, but when I looked back on it, just kept playing in my head, man, he loves books so much. I love books too. What am I doing about it? So I wanted to get, it's to celebrate my love for books a little bit more. So I bought a $600 lamp, and it's an awesome lamp. It's at my parents' house now. So I got to use it a little bit over the holidays, but it's just the best lamp.
Didn't you have, I think one other thing that you said, and I've done it as well. Don't you have some type of light, special light for your bed?
I wear blue blocker goggles pretty much an hour before bed. That's one thing I do I've got.
What have you noticed with those?
I just get ready to sleep better because I've started to read on my Kindle, my iPad instead of my regular Kindle. I hardly even use my regular Kindle anymore.
Oh, why are you using your iPad? I find the lighting really horrible for reading.
I have an iPad Air with a Retina display. And I used to totally agree with you. I used to think that was stupid. I would never read on an iPad. But since I've got it's got a yellowish color to it. I wear the blue blocker goggles, and it makes everything a lot more gentle on my eyes. I also love reading on the Kindle for iPad because I can more easily switch from one place to the book to the another, because I like to kind of switch around and read by layers. Also, they have color coded highlights, so if it's a word that I want to learn, I'll highlight it red. If it's something that I want to follow up on, I'll highlight it orange. If it's an anecdote or something that I would like to use in a book or a blog post at some time, I highlight it blue. Everything else is pretty much yellow.
That's so interesting. I just found with my iPad, I'd be like, oh, look, porn. Oh, look, Twitter. Oh, look, all this other shit. And I would just get off course so quickly.
Well, I do the same thing. I don't allow any messaging on my iPad, really. And then I don't get any notifications for messaging. And then I do the same thing on my iPad that I do on my iPhone. I have the most important icons on the front page. And then everything else is in one folder that's called hide. So if I want to watch YouTube videos, if I want to surf the web, I've got to at least flick down and search. But I do slip sometimes, but it would be nice to have an iPad that like the only app on it is Kindle, just like a separate iPad just for that or something.
You know, one thing you got me one. Well, I was just the quick ad for me is I use Philips light strips, and I have this like light blue color I've put underneath my bed. Oh. And I've actually found that very soothing. Like it's this like very light blue, and it's kind of romantic. So when I'm either alone for masturbating or if I bring a date over, I just find it like actually very soothing to go to sleep with like a light blue, and it automatically turns off at 2 a.m. The other thing I guess I was wondering about for you is like, do you ever wonder, and I think I know the answer, but I'm curious, like, do you ever think you're over optimizing, recharging and energizing and all this other stuff, like planning so much of this?
I consider that, but I try to hold it. I try to hold it all somewhat gently and reevaluate. I think about that, and I think that that's certainly a thing that an objection that a lot of people might have as I start to talk about these things more is that it's an over optimization or something. But I mean, I see it as optimizing all of the different important components of life. Like recharging is an important component. And if you are a driven person who's prone to workaholism, it's good to put some things in place to actually make it easier to get yourself to take the time to recharge.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that the answer is kind of obvious. It's like, look, time is all we have, right? And if you can maximize the amount of energy you have, like, why wouldn't you? Like, it definitely makes sense. One of the things I'm trying to experiment with is that, like, I'm generally always social, David. Like, you're much more of, like, you're like a Thoreau. You're like kind of a modern Thoreau who fucked Gladwell and had this, like, you know, professor-looking kid that turned out, you know, he had a beard at age 2. I'm always around people, right? Like, my days and my things are always filled up. And that's kind of like the default that I like. And so I'm going to experiment in February, like being more alone and then kind of seeing how that happened. Like,
I remember didn't experiment that like that a while ago. You had like never been alone for more, like for a whole day or something. And so you did like a week. But didn't you a few years
ago? Yeah. What I did 2 years ago is I picked a random city in an airport and I just went to Kentucky and I decided to spend a weekend alone. And I ended up actually seeing a friend out there, but I spent most of the weekend alone. Like I went out, and you know the cool thing about doing the thing alone with the energy wise, it was like really nice to just do the things I wanted. Like I played disc golf, I went on like a bourbon tour, I ate it by myself, and it's just interesting to. So that's kind of like in terms of energy and experimentation. Like I'm curious to see how that affects my energy levels and the things I want to be doing and not doing too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some people can be by themselves a lot and not be lonely. Some people can be around people all the time and be lonely, and some people are really worn out by being around people. And I think sometimes I get energized by being around people, but sometimes I also find it really, really draining and I just like want to be by myself. So I've learned to find the balance over time. And that's one thing that I do, you know, I'm a little isolated living down here in Colombia. In some ways it's nice because I get way fewer random social invitations where it's hard to turn it down. You know, like I wish I would have known in my 20s the value of like staying in, of saying that, well, I have plans already. And by the way, my plan is that I'm just going to stay in and read or something. It's like if there's something going on, that we can go out, you just sort of default to, or I would default to, okay, whatever's going on, I have to go out. It's Friday night or Saturday night or something like that, and not really taking the time to enjoy the alone time. So that's one good thing about being isolated. But then I also I have this podcast, so I talk to interesting people that way. I schedule video calls with friends of mine on a recurring basis so we don't lose touch. And I find it really energizing. And I like video chat is almost as good as being in the same room.
No, I think that's the whole point, is that you schedule the things that, you know, recharge you, and you schedule and plan, or not just schedule, but you plan for the things that don't recharge you. It's funny. You said something last time we talked last week that's really stuck with me, and I've really thought about it a lot. It's like, remember we talked about reading books and that gives you energy and new ideas and inspiration, and like, why not just go more into the things you already know work for you? And I think that's the whole point of this energy conversation. So like, you know, I started re-listening. I listened to your Jason Fried podcast, and I started listening to my own podcast more based on our conversation. So thank you. And it was like, well, I know this stuff gives me energy and I like it, so let's just go do more of that. And you know, the drinking thing doesn't give you energy, so let's maybe try a little less of that.
Let's talk about the podcast. I know that we're how are you doing on time?
I'm hanging out with Jason. You know Jason Cohen, WP Engine?
I've never met him, but I use WP Engine, and they've sponsored this podcast before. So
use David's affiliate link if you want to sign up for a great hosting service for your WordPress blog.
Or use whatever link I say in the ads. Yeah.
Yes. So I am doing an interview with him for my show at 5. So I've got like 2 hours.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I mean, if we can just take a few minutes, I want to talk about your podcast. What's compelled you to start your podcast is called The Inflection Point, right?
Which I may change the name.
Oh boy. Okay.
What? Can do whatever I want. It's my show.
No, I know. I think it's good to keep changing the name. I went through dozens of names for my own podcast.
What'd you start with? It didn't start with Love Your Work?
It did start with Love Your Work, but I recorded a bunch of episodes and I made sort of like prototype episodes. And I mocked up, you know, since I design, I can do this. I mocked up cover art and stuff and really thought about the name several times over. And there were certain times where I was like, oh, I'm just going to call it Cadvy Cast. And I realized like, oh, that's a dumb name. And I'm not Tim Ferriss. I'm not famous enough to just get by on my name or something like that. So I wanted to get deeper into something that was more about a value, you know, the values that I wanted to portray. So are you thinking of other names?
Well, the two things that I would say, yes. What I was going to say for myself and for other people listening, one thing that I've really benefited and appreciated is like even decorating my apartment. The act of starting was more helpful than the act of thinking for me. So the act of like just starting to put furniture in, instead of like, well, do I really want this? Do I really want that? Do I really want this? Like the amount of mental energy that I used on it versus just putting something in place helped me then be like, I fucking don't like this about this couch and let me get a better couch. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think,
it's like prototyping.
And so what I found just in terms of energy and like brain utilization, like, and I don't know if you've recommended the book, but Powerful Engagement, which I think you've read.
Yeah, it's great. Brian Balfour recommended it to me.
So for everyone out there, go get Powerful Engagement if you're looking to really optimize
power
your energy levels.
Full Engagement. Power of Full Engagement. Yeah.
Power
of full engagement.
Engagement.
Yeah, we've said it 7 times now, so that's good.
But anyways, the point of just like starting something, like getting the couch and help me be like, well, I need a couch that has this now versus something that I wasn't as clear on before. And, you know, I mean, remember we actually bought my furniture for the last place? It took me a long time. And when I finally just did it, then it helps you just kind of get that momentum and make those changes versus thinking about it.
Well, I think that there's the cognitive barriers there. And I've talked before about like the first time that I was a grown-up and it was time to get a blazer to wear. Like I didn't know what to look for. So I just went to the thrift store and bought a bunch of really cheap blazers that I could wear, and they weren't the best, but I at least like got an idea of what I wanted. And so when it was time to buy a blazer, I knew what I liked.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that, man. The podcast. So it's originally called The Inflection Point, and then now I'm debating calling it like Noah Kagan Presents Noah Kagan. Or Noah Kagan's Business Adventures. So, you know, the reason, you know, it's funny, I kind of like was resistant to it for a long time. And I think some of the things that we're resistant to, we might need to embrace more. So I've been resistant to be out there more and get my name out there more. I think I'm still like scarred from the Facebook days. But ultimately, I think what you have to do is like, what do you truly want to be doing? And I truly love connecting with people and chatting and then like recording my own ideas. And I'll put it out there. And if I think people will like hearing about it. On the podcast, it's live by the time I guess this will be out there. If you just search Noah Kagan or okdork.com/podcast. And my thought is like, look, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have fun with it, do business experiments, chat with really interesting people that other people haven't met, or frankly, I just want to meet, and put out a fun show that, you know, I think David, you said yourself, like something that you want to listen to again, that you'd want to listen to yourself. And, ultimately it's not just about how do I get other people to validate me and feel good about it, but something that I just want to do. And I think generally the business stuff and life stuff that I'm just like, I really want to go do this, or I really want to do that. I generally think that leads you in the right direction. And so trusting your true North Star or your true, like
your curiosity,
inner soul.
You can't connect the dots moving forward.
Exactly. Right. You just have to believe, right. Determine. You know, I love that quote. What was it? You can only connect in looking backwards.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we talked about actually, that when you interviewed me for your podcast, which everybody listening should go listen to that episode because it should be up right now.
By the time they hear this, it'll be edited and out. I'm doing one episode a week, putting out. Like for example, like from anything you're interested in, I would say go experiment and explore. Don't try to do all of it once, but pick one thing at a time. And so for me, like the podcast has just created new opportunities. Whether it becomes super known and not, I'm going to do my best to get it known. But like I'm going to Chicago to meet Jason Fried.
That's awesome that you're actually going to make the investment to travel all the way there instead of just doing
I'm traveling there for an interview and he's doing a 1-day seminar. And I was like, dude, can I just come interview you? And then I'll pay and I'd love to join your seminar. And like, I flew to LA to meet Keith Ferrazzi. And I got to do an interview with him. But the thing that was interesting though, most very interesting for me was like, because I was going to Chicago, you mentioned Alinea. And I went to Alinea last year, which was literally number top three thing on my bucket list. Number three, four, like top on my bucket list. And I got to go. And it was as good as everyone says. It was life changing. And so I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. And I was like, yo, Nick, I tweeted him. I was like, hey, I'm coming to Chicago. Any chance I could chat with you for 30 minutes? I'd love to, I want to get inspired. I want to inspire other people with your message.
Nick from Alinea and what's the
TikTok
or TikTok. Yeah. They're sort of restaurant booking software.
Yeah.
I've fantasized about having him on the podcast, but I've never actually done it. So it'll be interesting to hear how it goes.
Well, I'll do the foreplay and then you can have the finale.
You can interview him first and then maybe I'll interview him someday.
Well, you know, what's really funny. Well, anyway, so I emailed him, I tweeted him and I really wanted to meet him and then it worked out. And I think you have to make that effort to it, but it's only because I started doing the podcast that's created those opportunities. It's the same as my buddy JR. He really loves film. And he talked about it for 10 years. And then he finally was just like, yo, once a week for 100 days, I'm going to put out a YouTube video. And whether people are watching or not is secondary. I'm just going to get into a good habit. And so for 100 days, he put out a video every week, whether a lot of people watched him or not. And it was interesting the opportunities that were created by it. Because I think sometimes in life, people are like, man, I don't know how this happened. And it's like, it happened because you took the initiative to do something. And so because of it, like he's met different YouTube celebrities and he's met like certain restaurants have asked him to start creating films for their restaurants. And it's just amazing the like serendipity that's happened because he started doing what he really wanted. Whether, as you said, with connecting the dots, whether you see that right away or not. So I've just been fortunate and very excited that I'm like, oh, cool. Not just about only meeting people, but like, what other things can I be creating related to, audio or potentially video that I can share with other people?
I've got an interesting scientific tidbit to this.
I
interviewed a neuroscientist who studies the nature of insight on episode 8, John Cunios, and he's talked about how insightful problem solving, creative bursts come from the connecting of disparate elements. But there's been research to show that people can predict if there's an insight below the surface that they can predict with significant accuracy that they're going to be able to solve the problem. So when you feel an urge to follow any of these things, it's possible that that is coming from some sort of subconscious awareness of an opportunity that will come from it.
Way beyond me. I don't know why I couldn't follow that.
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated. It's just that.
No, I like it. Can you simplify
your,
it? To like
your subconscious, which is not a very scientific term, but your subconscious may already know what will come from those opportunities that you want to pursue, even though you don't know how it will result. Actually, that's been said in Steve Jobs' talk to is basically that your true self or something already knows what you truly want to become. You just have to follow your curiosity. Everything else is secondary. I don't have the exact
dude. That guy is quotes. Good, man.
It's yeah,
he's
great
probably
talk.
he's probably pretty done pretty well for himself.
Yeah. So you're
the show.
I think that you could get away with calling it the Noah Kagan Show. I think you're famous enough for that.
I think we all have things that we're afraid of and calling your inner Tony Robbins or whatever you want to talk about. I think I'm reluctant to like having that much attention, but I want attention. And I think I've been on the fence about it so long that actually on my whiteboard, I have my word of the year, which is discomfort. But I wrote a phrase down 2 nights ago, which is like, no apologies. For like everyone, and I'm speaking for myself, but I think in general too, we apologize so fucking much. We're like, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it's a Jewish thing. But I'm like, just stop fucking apologizing and start doing what you want. And I think the more you do that, the more that you'll be true to yourself, you'll feel better and you'll get the things you want and people will probably respect and like you more too. And so like, yeah, I want to put out a show and I not necessarily want to have the world listening to it, but like, I want to put out something that, you know, I'm proud of. And I think subsequently if I promote it, people will hear it. So the name of it kind of to me is secondary. But yeah, it may change to like Noah Kagan Loves David Cattavy Show.
I like that. I like that name.
David Cattavy presents Noah Kagan presenting Noah Kagan. I mean, it's TBD on how the show actually ends up being called.
I mean, I think the inflection point is a good name, but in some ways it kind of possibly paints you in a corner as far as topics or what you want to talk about goes.
Completely.
I think it's nice to have something that allows you to meander a little bit with your own curiosities. Like you're really into this sort of aspect of people and you get that kind of figured out. And then you decide, oh, I want to interview people about their mental energy, like I'm doing with you right now. Or, you know, and you can, and that it can all fall under a certain umbrella. It works out nicely.
I think that's exactly the point, is that like, who was I talking to about this? I was talking about this guy who runs a coffee shop in Austin and he was in a funk 5 years ago. And I felt a little bit recently where like, I'm a little bit like, it's uncertainty. And he's like, you know, the more that you just stay true to yourself and not worry about getting validation or acceptance from other people, the likeliness you'll get what you want and you'll feel satisfied doing those things you want. I was at a Tony Robbins thing related to this, and Tony said something very strong that's resonated with me, which was like, making money without fulfillment is no point. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was a very strong message too, where like, if you're making all this money, but you're not really fulfilled by it, then who really cares about making the money? And I think that, you know, that kind of stays true with all this stuff.
Yeah. So what do you think? Anything else you want to chat about before we go? You got to go talk to Jason soon.
No, I got 2 hours. So I'm just going to go for a walk because it's a nice, anytime it's a nice day out, like energy wise, like I'm like, why the fuck are we caged animals? Get the fuck outside. Like it seems so silly to me to stay indoors when it's nice weather. Like I think that should be illegal.
I live where it's always spring. So
do you?
Medellin is. Oh yeah. Like I mean, 75 degrees.
You live in a land of gorgeous women.
Some people say that sort of thing about this place, but yeah, you know, it's got a lot of good things going for it.
It's got a few things going for it. You're a funny guy. I'm trying to think what else. I'm pretty good, man. I like talking with you every time. I think what I appreciate about you, David, is that you always have, you bring new ideas and new angles to thinking about things that people, I think, take for granted. And I always really appreciate that.
Thanks. I mean, I like that observation because, I mean, it reminds me of when you and I first started hanging out when I was kind of in my wander years, as I call them, when I was wandering around from cafe to cafe in San Francisco for that year. And then you let me come crash in your office space at, Naval Ravikant's office space, basically. I remember saying that then. You were like, hey, you've got interesting things to say. And I was like, what? Really? Do I? Like that was really helpful for me at that time because I was really floating around. I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
Dude, I have an interesting idea that I've been noodling on and I think it'd be fun for you. You should interview someone that you worked with and then have them like be your guest and then learn more about yourself. Like I was thinking about that for me, like how cool would it be? Cause Naval is an investor in my old company and I'd be like, man, I'd love to hear his thought about like how much of a dick I am or like things that I did well or poorly so that I could, improve. I just think in general that like I did that with my mom. I interviewed my mom with the podcast and I thought that was just so fascinating to learn about my mom's history. I don't think in general we get enough feedback. I think generally if people are like, oh, life's okay, I'm not really great. It's like, go ask the people that care about you or that know you how to like what things they think you can make it better. And then you go get fucking better.
It's hard. You know, even the word feedback, I don't know. You know, when I hear the word feedback, I feel a little bit of a recoil, like, okay, like brace myself a little bit here.
Do you pucker the anus?
What? Anyway, I'm not sure what you just said, but anyway, yeah, I feel a little But sometimes I go into that fear, like if it's for sending out a survey or getting feedback on products or something like that, where, okay, good is going to come from this. Like, it's not personal or Amazon reviews of my book, things like that. You know, gotten better at receiving feedback, but I'm not, you know, the ultimate.
Let me ask you two questions. One, how well is the book still selling?
It's still selling. It's not like I'm getting like the biggest checks of my career or anything from it, but it's still selling. I think. Yeah, I mean, it's still selling at a decent clip. There's not a lot of ups and downs for it, which is good because it came out 5 years ago. It's a technology book, you know? So it sold 15,000 copies, which is good for a book of that niche. But it also, that tends to surprise people because a lot of times people were like, well, what are you talking about? Your book is everywhere in Silicon Valley. Like, how could that... It should be like, I would think it would have sold way more, but I'm sure that if we included all the times it's been pirated, it would be like 100,000. So that's good to know.
And then what do you do? The two things I was wondering as well to finish up is like, what do you do that gives you a bunch of energy? Like what specific activities? And then what do you do to recharge?
Something that gives me a lot of energy is reading. I love reading, the last couple hours of the night. I'll go out to dinner with friends and I want to make it like an earlier dinner so that I'll have time when I get home to read. Like we'll have dinner for a couple hours. I'm like, can't wait to get home to read.
Really?
Yeah. And that's recharging. I'm not sure if what the difference is between the couple of things that you were saying, but that's one of the recharging things. I guess another one is to hang out with my girlfriend because she doesn't talk to me about work and doesn't, you know, is not connected into that at all. And so it's kind of nice because it gets me out of that mode.
Okay.
Sometimes practicing Spanish is recharging for me. Like I'll read books in Spanish or it helps me relax. If I'm getting stressed, a nice thing to do is just pick up a book that's in Spanish because I have to like focus on it more. And it's just such a fluid language. I enjoy that. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that I'm just not, thinking about right now.
No, I mean, I think going the point is that Yeah, like you have things that you know like give you energy. Like I know listening to podcasts gives me ideas. So like I love jogging or biking and I'll throw on my podcast. So like I go to Hebrew classes on like once a week and I go to therapy once a week. And like generally I'll bike there because it forces me to have time to be able to talk to people or to be able to listen to the podcast. And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Well, yeah, I listen to podcasts and I listen to Audible books, especially when I cook. Like I cook pretty often. And so that's actually... kind of a part of my workflow and part of what makes the podcast work so well is that I have a lot of time where I can listen to podcasts, but I can't necessarily do other things. And so if I have a guest that's coming up, I will listen to that person's, like every podcast I can find of that person being interviewed to really get a feel for what questions have they been asked before? How do they answer certain questions? What are some of the things that I'm curious about? And that's a way that I manage to kind of give myself the raw material for creative output throughout my day while I'm doing other things.
Is doing what exactly?
Like the fact that I listen to a lot of audio content while I'm cooking. Like I kind of have to cook anyway. So listening to audio content during that time is really enjoyable and it also gives me the raw material with which to do my more focused creative work.
You know, one thing I think is interesting about that is setting it up to be easier to be able to do that. So my specific point is that like if you know that you can do that, like put a speaker like an Amazon Echo and make it easy to connect with Bluetooth or buy a Bose speaker or a cheap speaker on Amazon to make those kind of activities easier for you to actually accomplish.
And that's exactly what I do. I have an Amazon Echo and I can, it takes voice command for Audible. So, and I've realized there's only certain books that I want to listen to on Audible. Like if there's a business, general business book, I don't want to listen to it on Audible. I want to scan it. I want to listen to biographies on Audible. And so that can be, I'm not necessarily needing to hear every single word. Like I recently listened to the George Washington biography. I'm listening to the Genghis Khan biography right now. It's like, I don't know everything about them now, but I know the general shape. I know some generalities that I certainly didn't know before because it's kind of going in the background. And sometimes I'm paying attention and sometimes I'm not. And I'm okay with the fact that I'm not getting it all.
No, I think that's really interesting. It's just like making the things that, you know, give you energy, like setting up to become easier to make them like a part of your life, like having the Echo there, or, you know, if it's running, put like your running shoes by your door, yada, yada, yada.
Or even my schedule, I was just going to say my schedule with hanging out with my girlfriend, there's like certain nights that we hang out and we don't have to like we don't have to adjust like every single week and like, well, what about this night? What about that night? It's just, there's just certain nights and that's pretty much done beforehand, so it's already planned. Just like you were talking about with some of your repeating things or things that you do to save decision fatigue. So anyway, this has been an awesome conversation about managing your mental energy. I think that kind of my takeaways so far are that you really guard some of your creative time, your best times for that. You find things to recharge you. You put in place things to reduce decision fatigue. You review every week so you can have your priorities straight and you can get rid of the things that you don't want to do. Any other things?
Yeah, just to finish off, I read Total Recall by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I think all of us have kind of like heard that book. We're like, oh yeah, of course, I know Arnold's story. I think we all say we do. But I think the two things that I could just end with that I think are related to what, you know, energy is, you need energy to accomplish things or do things fun or professional or in relationships. And so the two things that I'd like to leave with related to energy and clarity and accomplishing things is from Arnold. And it was like, number one, have a vision about what you want to accomplish. Like, where do you want your life to be in the next 1 month, 6 months, 6 years, 60 years, whatever it is. That's number one. And I think that helps you kind of accomplish the things you want in your week. So like I have my bucket list for the year. That's what Arnold does. And I've been doing it for years where every year I have a bucket list of what I want to accomplish. And then I make sure I'm scheduling in my calendar or my weekly to-dos. And the second thing that I think he did well, which I encourage people to do, is like he was very aggressive about removing distractions. So is there people distracting you? Is there work distracting you? Is there things in your place distracting you? Is there your geography distracting you? Is your parents distracting you? And take responsibility to remove the distractions to help you create the vision that you want to be living. And that just really resonated with me.
Yeah. Noah, thanks so much. Go listen to Noah's podcast. Just search for Noah Kagan's podcast.
Boom. Thanks, dog.
Love Your Work is supported in part by Treehouse. Take your career to the next level and learn from over 1,000 videos created by expert teachers on web design, coding, business, and much more. Claim your free 14-day free trial at kadavy.net/treehouse. You'll be supporting the show. I hope you enjoyed that detailed look at how Noah manages his mental energy throughout the week. If you're wondering what all this mind management, not time management thing stuff is, check it out on episode 10. And don't forget to check out Noah's new podcast. It might be called the Noah Kagan Adventure Show or the Inflection Point. Just search, you should be able to find it. Noah interviews me on one of the first episodes. Noah and I talk about why I hiss like a snake 15 minutes before I record this show, why I watch the same shows and read the same books over and over again, and how I reverse engineer inflection points in my business. You can find Noah's podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you appreciate all the work that goes into making this show, there are a couple of ways you can help support it. One is to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button. Another is to rate the show on iTunes. Just go to kadavy.net/iTunes and click on write a review and click on the star rating. You don't even have to write a review. It just takes a couple of seconds. And do you like books? If you do, I'd love to send you my book recommendations. About 90% of them will be nonfiction on subjects spanning from biographies to neuroscience. Just go to cadavy.net/reading, sign up, and you'll get my first set of recommendations right away. You'll be supporting the show if you buy any of those books through the links in the email. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for the show is More Streets, performed by Spiderflower. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.